Welcome to episode 92 of Talking Mopars. This episode is part 4 and the final installment of the latest Facebook livestream replay from the night of Friday, June 11th, and picks up where we left off last week. Next week, we'll get back to normal with Project Car of the Week, High Performance Parts, Listener Stories, and whatever fun Mopar-related subject we cover, which has yet to be determined. So without further ado, if you are a Mopar enthusiast, then you are in the right place. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned into the best Mopar enthusiast-driven podcast on planet Earth, and I'm your host, Chris Albrecht, better known as the Mopar Hunter, and this is Talking Mopars.
You're listening to Talking Mopars with the Mopar Hunter, your direct connection to all things Mopar.
I'm really motivated on this van. Actually, one of my buddies that I met through Instagram, who's a vanner, and he lives in Oregon, which is just south of me because I'm in Washington. He asked me if I knew anyone that wanted, or actually he asked me if I wanted to buy a fender flare kit, like the old school shit. And I was like, I mean, they're expensive. Like I got quoted just over $700 shipped from a guy in Canada, and it would take him a few months to make it because he makes them by hand.
Oh, okay.
But they're exact replicas of the old school stuff. So I was like, oh, gosh, that's a lot of money. And I have other things I need to buy. And then this guy hits me up and he's like, I've got a brand new flare kit. I was going to put it on my van. I decided to go a different direction. Do you want to buy it? How much? $450, but I got to go get it. But it's brand new, never been mounted. And that same kit from the guy, because he got it from the guy that I was going to buy mine from. You know, the difference is almost half, you know, $700 shipped versus 450. I have to go spend a little bit of gas money to go get it, but I like to drive. So I was like, oh God. And so now I think I might have to get that kit, here in the next month or so if he still has it. But I've got some projects. I got to get this van going. I'm really motivated and I got it started. The battle's won. The problem was, I got it started, but there was no fuel getting to the carb, so I could keep it running by just spraying starting fluid in the carb, right? So I was like, okay, well, simple. I'll just run a line from the fuel pump right into a gas can. Problem solved. I can get it running. So I did that, and it's still not getting fuel to the carb. So my assumption would be that it's got a bad fuel pump because it's a mechanical pump. You know what I mean? I mean, right? Am I wrong? I'm thinking bad fuel pump. So yeah. I have a fuel pump. I was planning on putting it in after this show because I'm going to do the freeze plugs tomorrow. So tomorrow will be freeze plugs and the pump. But I'm hoping the pump will take care of all my fuel problems. And then if that works, if I can get it to pump fuel from the gas can, then I'm going to hook it up to the gas tank. The problem is I went to pour gas in the tank. And much like the radiator, when I went to fill that, it was good for a couple seconds, and then I started hearing it pissing, and I got underneath it, and it was on the filler. The filler neck comes down, it's metal, and then as it 90s to the tank, there's a rubber hose. It's almost like a radiator hose, and it's leaking, and I can't tell if it's I can tell that the hose is probably shot, and that's why it's leaking there. So I got to get one of those, and nobody makes them. So I got to get some radiator hose or something. So I got to pull that line off, and then check to see if the tank is even usable, you know what I mean?
It's special rubber. Don't use a radiator hose. It won't hold up.
Okay, see, now I asked the guy at fucking AutoZone. I said, can I just use a radiator hose for this? Are they okay with fuel? And he goes, sure. They should be. And I was like, okay. Because I had him look up anything related to the fuel system for this van. And I had him show me the screen and shit. And I was like, okay, you guys don't have anything. So I don't know where I could go to even get the hose.
Our club car, the Belvedere, the 66 Belvedere, has a similar deal. It goes from metal to hose to tank.
Yes.
So maybe look up that car and maybe you could cut it to something you need. Cause I think it had somewhat of a 90 into it. And I want to say it was probably about a foot on each side and we had to trim it down. I think it was way long. So I think it comes longer than you need.
Oh, so they make them for those cars?
I'll have to double check with Chris Field. Okay. He's the one that bought it. I thought he bought it for that car, but maybe he bought something generic and we just put it on that car? I don't know. I didn't buy it myself, so.
Okay, check for me. I'll double check.
Yeah.
Yeah, check for me, because I was like, I just need to get fuel in the tank. And I was like, and part of me, I knew, I was like, you know, I don't know if a radiator hose will work. And I'm glad somebody talked me out of that shit, because I was about to put one on just to see if I could get fuel into the tank so I could at least test to make sure it's getting fuel to the carb from the tank. Because I do have, it's got two filters. It's got one running across the frame, and then I have one up by the carb that's clear just so I can see if fuel's getting in. And once I know fuel's getting in, I'm going to put the metal canister one on there.
Yeah. It'll work for a day or two.
I kind of knew when I asked the guy and he was unsure. I was like, okay, my initial gut reaction was it probably won't, because if it was, then they wouldn't call them radiator hoses. It'd be universal hose. you know what I mean? So
that was your giveaway right there.
Yeah. That's a good idea, Johnny.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and write that one down.
Yeah. When you have an idiot come in and go, hey, can I use a radiator hose for a fuel line?
No, first thing you say is, no. Fuck. And then you say, yeah, sure, it'll work.
Yeah. I'm gonna look everybody out. I'm going to look at management.
I had a bad feeling about that. I didn't think it was a good idea, but they didn't have anything, so I was like, I'm gonna have to see. If first of all, I gotta pull it off and see what size it is, so there was a couple other things I was gonna have to deal with, but I'm gonna have to pull it off anyway just to see what I'm working with. But I at least need to get it running on its own, because I have all the tune-up parts for it. I just want to see it run first. Once it runs, then should be pretty solid. But it's loud as fuck because it's got one muffler cut off of it. And when I fired it up for the first time, because I had the doghouse off, I was like, Jesus Christ, fucking loud. So I got to figure something out with that. I still have the glass packs from the Mr. Norm truck. So I was thinking about just tacking them on there for a while, but I really want side pipes. So I've been debating on which ones I want to get. But going back to your original question, Irvin, I don't know what I'm going to get. I'll have to wait a couple of years and find out. Hopefully things will be cheaper then. Hopefully I'll be rich by then. We'll have a different conversation. But the other thought was not even getting a new Mopar and getting another classic car, because I would never lose money on it. You know what I mean? And if I'm looking at a $40,000 or $50,000 Challenger or Charger, it's like, God, what could I get for 40 or 50 grand in the classic market? You know what I mean? All my buddies got cool cars. Why can't I have a cool car too? Yeah.
Johnny, do you have a van or?
No.
He wishes.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I mean, is Chris the only one here with the van?
No.
The only weirdo.
My dad's had two of them. I mean, one of them, it was a 76, and I grew up in that thing. But, you know, my mom's 72 Charger, that car that I'm working on, and the 76 Dodge van, and we had a 73 Mazda pickup. Like, those three vehicles were the family cars that I grew up in, you know. So the vans are cool, and I've got all kinds of, you know, experiences in it. And you know,
Johnny's got other projects right now.
Yeah, I just don't have time. It's funny because I think you had just drug home the brown one, and I was driving up a street right here in my neighborhood, and I saw one. I was like, oh, and it's a shorty boogie van. And I'm like looking at it, and I'm like, I took a picture of it. You know, it's all kind of grainy because it was so far away. But yeah, it's one of those cool ones you want to go knock on the door for and hopefully get for a good price. But it's like, I don't have any time, no bandwidth for it. I don't even have money for it. It's like, yeah, I can't go there.
David made a good point. No. Johnny's got a badass station wagon. He doesn't need a van.
Yes. That's true.
God, that station wagon. Oh, God. Every time you slam something, it just looks awesome. Dude,
I can't wait. I mean, so what I was hoping for, I'd bought some exhaust. My buddy Chris thought it came off of Chris with Motec, he gets like people bring shit to him, like cars, and you know, they upgrade the exhaust or they do this or they do that. And they don't want the old stuff, you know. I think it's a rich people thing. because like I'm a freaking pack rat. I keep everything. But
yeah,
so he sold it to me, gave it to me, traded it to me. I don't even remember, but I was going to put it on the car, and I thought perfect because I actually have 70 manifolds on the car. The driver's side hypo manifolds are the same, like from 68 up to like 72 or so. But the passenger side, from 69 to 70, they changed. They like changed 45 degrees or so, you know, the angle of the holes at the flange.
Hmm.
So I have 70 manifolds on that car. And I thought the exhaust was 70. I was just going to bolt everything up. But it turns out it's for 69. So it's 45 degrees off. Uh-huh. I'm like, I don't feel like cutting it, turning it. I don't feel like doing all that shit. So I'm just going to take the car to the muffler shop and have exhaust put on it. But I can't wait. I don't want to lower the car right now because of the exhaust stuff. They got to put it on the rack and, you know, it's just a pain in the ass. So
it's not lowered in the front right now.
It sits pretty low. It's just torsion bar. You know, it's easy to drop the torsion bars on the front. So it's sitting low up front.
Yeah. It looks slammed
right now.
Okay.
Yeah. But the key is the back. So once I get the exhaust all done and I don't have to worry about the car going on a rack or anything, I'm going to probably put 2-inch blocks in the back and slam the back down, and then I'll adjust the front. It'll either stay where it is or it might go slightly lower. But yeah, I can't wait to get the wagon slammed on the ground. It's going to look tight. You know?
God, man, that wagon is sick. What are your plans for that thing? Like, if you had it your way and your other projects were done, what are you doing to the wagon?
Just rolling it. I'm really happy with the way the car looks right now. I'm going to leave it.
It looks badass.
Yeah. I mean, it's really rusty. So like right now, dude, I've done so much work to that freaking car, and it's like you get so close and then distracted, life comes along and other priorities and stuff. And the car is just sat, like the exhaust has been the biggest thing. It needs alignment, exhaust. It's very rusty. The floors are wasted on this car. The previous owner put like kitchen tiles, like floor tiles on the floor to plug the holes.
Holy shit.
You don't fall through. Yeah.
Wow. That's the most ghetto shit I've heard. And I've seen some pretty ghetto shit.
It's pretty bad.
That's funny though.
Bad. Yeah. I like that. So I think what I'm going to do, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for it because it's going to be kind of sketchy, but I'm going to buy, they make patch panels, floor patch panels that are like half patches. So it's not the full floor. It's like from the bottom of the hump, the trans tunnel, to the rocker. Right. And then it's the front floor and the back floor. So it's like just as it starts to go up, you know, where the back seat would be.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about buying those and just pulling the seat, the front seat out, so I could get in there, dropping those in over the rusty floors and then putting the seat back in it, because I just don't have time to replace it right now, you know?
Sure.
So at least like your feet don't fall through the floor. Cause I think there's enough metal there structurally. It's not going to fall through, but like, I wouldn't feel comfortable having my son ride in the back seat. Like the hole's big enough. His foot could go through there. You know, it's God. I don't want that, but I'm just gonna slap it together because I like the way the car looks. I got to hook up the kickdown linkage and I got to work out bugs. You know, I got to get it rolling and stuff. It needs a lot of things, a lot of little things still, but I can't let it distract me from the Charger build. Yeah. So, but I'll sacrifice a little time and a little money. I'll get the exhaust done, buy those panels for the floor, and I'll drop it. And then I just want to roll it, man. I just want to freaking roll that thing. And there's nothing really else to do. Oh, dog dish caps. I'm going to get the red circle dog dish caps. I'm going to slap those on the car. So, and then that's it, man. It's good to go the way it is.
Is it, I forget, is it a small block car or a big block car?
It's originally a 318 car, two barrel.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Actually, like your freeze plug problem. When I bought that car, it actually ran. I never drove it because I got it home and I was like, well, screw it. I kept the 440 out of my blue Roadrunner and that's what's in the car now. Oh, okay. I wanted to put that in the wagon, but, I thought, well, I'll get the 318 running. Let's see if it runs, you know, sure enough, it fires up and it runs, but putting water in, it was just like, it's going in the radiator and coming right out the freeze plug. I mean, it was really bad. The freeze plugs were wasted. and it was leaking. I mean, they were so bad on the side of the block. It was like, they're all gone. The two on the back of the block between the transmission and the block, it's like, I got to pull the transmission to get to those or pull the engine to get to it. Yeah. Like, if I'm going to do that, I'm just going to rip all the shit out and put the big block in it. You know,
wait, so, say that it has a 440 in it right now, or
right now it's got a 440 in it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Johnny doesn't like small blocks very much.
Yeah. I was saying, I'm confused.
They're okay, but I prefer big blocks.
You know, Johnny, you scared me when we were talking about the freeze plugs on my van, and you're talking about those ones on the back. And I was like, shit, I didn't even think about that. And then I go and look at the damn thing, and the doghouse is off of it. And I'm like, oh, shit, Johnny, why'd you scare me like that? They're right there. Like, I don't got to worry about it.
What do you mean they're right there? You got to pull the transmission to get to them.
I see the freeze plugs on the back of the block. What are you talking about?
You're talking about the cylinder heads.
Oh, you're shit, you're right.
Cylinder heads.
I'm talking about shit, the back right.
of the block. Yes,
they Fuck, are in
the
back right.
of the block.
God damn it, you're right. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. That just changed my whole night. Awesome.
Sorry, bro.
God, I gotta look at him now because, shit.
I mean, you said that the one just popped out of the side of the block, right? I mean,
it's weird because one is gone. The one next to it looks new, but it's not brass, and I would prefer brass.
Yeah.
And the other side is so caked with gunk that I'm assuming they're the original ones too. So I imagine the passenger side got rotted out, so they replaced one. Why the other one? I almost don't trust it. Like, I don't know if they didn't put Permatex on it, or I don't know what happened there. So I'm just going to go ahead and replace both of them. I'll probably replace the ones on the other side too, just to be safe. And now I got to look at the ones on the back of the block. Well, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking.
Yeah. If I were shit. If you could get, I'm assuming because the van has got a little more space in there, it's probably easier to get to the freeze plugs than on a car.
Yeah, I would probably just, because they're right there, I'll probably just take the manifolds off just so I have access from the top, because I really don't like laying underneath the thing.
Yeah. Well, I think the front ones are under the motor mounts though, right? You got to pull the motor mount brackets to get to those.
They looked pretty accessible to me.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Because I reached up and reached my hand in the hole. Well, my finger in the hole. I was like, okay, well, you know, just to see what the inside felt like. I mean, but
if I were you, I would replace the sides and then gamble and see what happens.
I mean, worst case scenario, the back leaks and okay, I guess I got to replace the. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's not a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not terrible. I mean, it's doable.
It's a hassle. It's a hassle. I'd rather not. Hassle.
You know what? Here's the thing. Because you're just trying to get it running and kind of working things out. Like,
yeah,
just do the sides. If the backs don't leak right now, just kick that down the road and worry about other shit on the van. You know, get it to where you can drive up the street and stuff, and you know, go to Cold Stone, take your daughter to Cold Stone and get some ice cream or whatever and head back, you know? And then when those things pop, then all right, pull the trans.
Yeah, that's not going to be fun. Damn it.
Sorry, man. Sorry to ruin
your day. No, that's why all right. No.
Big blocks. Big blocks don't have freeze plugs on the back of the block. Shit. Man. They're like, shit's stupid. Let's just not put them on the back of the block. We'll just put them on the side. Where you can get to them.
Yeah, that would have been smart. I don't know. They got to make things challenging. That's why they're like, that's how they sold you at the dealership. They're like, you know, the small block's nice, but you know, here's the one thing about the big blocks that you may not know.
Yeah.
No, that's good information though. Cause I looked and I fucking stupid. Stupid. I was like, they're right there. What's Johnny talking about? Thank God I have a doghouse on this thing. This is amazing. Yeah. That was completely. Yeah. That's my bad. Yeah. Awesome. That just made my Saturday a little bit more interesting. Now I definitely am going to go check it out tonight and see what I've got going on and get everything prepped for tomorrow, because I kind of want to get an early start and be done with everything by noon. That would be nice. The freeze plug shouldn't be that hard, at least. Yeah, I mean, popping them out and getting them in.
Famous last words.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll probably end up talking to you tomorrow, Johnny, and being like, Johnny, here's the issue. One is inside the block. How do I? That's the one I have thought about that. I'm like, my luck, I'm going to fucking knock it inside the block. So I got to.
I did it. That 383 that we're going to put in the club car.
Mm-hmm.
I did the same thing. I knocked the. I try to hit the freeze plug, you know, let's see, like from one side.
Yeah.
Get it to kind of like twist and then stick a screwdriver in there and then pop it out.
Yeah.
But it decided, no, we're going in the block. Boom. Oh, goes into the water jacket. I'm like, fuck. And I took a little, one of those magnets. Now, the other thing too is, I'm dealing with an engine that's on an engine stand. I was not in a car, so it was easy. Yeah. For me, it was easy. But I just took a magnet to it, snaked it up to the hole, and then was holding it where I could get a screwdriver in there and popped it out. And in the process of doing that, I found the original freeze plug in the water jacket as well.
Somebody
Yeah, somebody had knocked it in, and they just said, well, fuck it, left it in there. Yeah.
Shit, maybe I should check inside that thing and make sure there isn't a freeze plug in there.
Yes, you should. You should look around. You know, if you got,
I'm so glad you told me that.
Yeah, you know those little magnets with the the telescope thing. Yeah, just grab that thing and just like roll it around in there and see if it grabs anything.
Well, doesn't Harbor Freight have that little, you know, light that you can stick in there and kind of? It's a camera as well, and it kind of you can see. You know, people use it, you know, when I dropped that valve seat on my car, people were telling me, oh, go to Harbor Freight, get this camera light thingy majigger. You just string it in there and you can see inside whether the piston's damaged or whatever. I mean, shit, work for that block. Make sure that that freeze plug is not in there floating around.
Yeah, well, it sounds like I always wanted to get one. I've never had one. I've never tried it, but it seems like it would work for something like that.
It sounds like out of the movies, huh? It's like, oh, looking under the door and that's, you
know, that it's funny you mentioned that though, Johnny, because when you were talking about knocking it into the block, I was like, oh, I'll just take my magnet and I'll just extend it out and I'll just have it just hanging there just in case. So I can just go, oh no. No, you don't. Oh no, you don't.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
Oh God. Now I'm really curious. See, the problem is I get curious about these things and instead of going to bed like I'm about to in a few minutes, now I got to go down there and check it out. I'll probably be up till 7 o'clock this morning and trying to figure it out. But
I'm answering Christopher London right now. He's asking which wagon, the 69 or 70.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about the 69, but I do have 70 also.
Oh, that's a dickhead move, Johnny. You didn't even have to mention that. But I do have a 70, just in case you didn't know.
Yeah, I gotta point it out. You know, it's,
John, let's know how much you pay him to say that.
Huh?
Huh? No, I'm just saying, we want to know how much you pay him to say that.
I need you to send a text or message right now.
Yeah, exactly. How much you pay him?
Nothing. I paid him nothing.
But Johnny's got all the Mopars.
I was Freiberger just hit up Mike Coffey and me about the parts. He's like, this has been so long. He bought parts off of me and he hasn't collected them, right? And then he sent he gave, because he bought an 8 3/4 B body 8 3/4. And I guess he didn't need it. He's going to stick with the Ford 9-inch that's in General Mayhem. So he told Dulcich he can have his 8 3/4. Because I saw Dulcich, he was posting something looking for an 8 3/4 that he can cut down for his Dart, right? His A-body. And I said, hey, if Freiberger's not going to use this 8 3/4, he already paid for it. You can, you know, if you can ask him if you can have it. And then if he still wants it, I have this C body 8 3/4. So anyway, Dulcich came out. He ended up, Freiberger gave him the B body one, and then I sold him the C body one. But Freiberger forgot like all the shit he bought off of Mike and me. He was like, what did I get from you guys exactly? And you know, yeah, I was like, well, you gave your 8 3/4 to Dulcich. I mean, and then there was like a couple of other parts and stuff like that. But somehow, oh, I was telling him, because he was talking about, I think, sway bars or something on the car, on General Mayhem. And I said, oh, you should put four sway bars on the car, like two up front, two in the back, like the 70 wagon that I bought from my buddy John. And Freiberger is just like, first of all, he's like, why? and then second of all, he's like, cool, you have a 70 wagon. I'm jealous because he's got the 70 Super B, you know, so he likes the 70 Super B. So it's kind of funny. And then I'm posting all this stuff on my 69. He probably has seen it, you know, and he's like, I thought he said it was a 70. It's a 69. You know? So I probably should post pictures of the 70 also. Like, put both cars in the picture or something.
Now, which one do you like better?
Oh man, right now I'd say I like the 69 better. Sure. It's weird. It's like, you can have the same car, like say a 68 Charger, you have 10 of them lined up, and it's like, there might be three or four of them that just jump out at you. Like something about them, you know, it's especially with me, I like ratty cars. So the rattiness or the patina or that color, or, you know, just something about the stance of the car, the wheels on the car, something just makes you like, I like that car. You know what I mean? And then the other ones, you're just like, eh, whatever. Even though they're all 68 Chargers. Well, I kind of feel like that with the wagon, that with that 69 wagon, I'm not a big fan of white cars, but I love the fact that it's a white car and it's a blue interior. And those wheels I actually had painted for my 68 Coronet, which is that color blue. And I have welds on the car. So I was like, man, I got to put those wheels on the wagon. I mean, it'll go with the blue interior thing. So see what it looks like. And then when I slam it. Yeah, I think so too. So yeah. I bought a Super B or an RT hood, bulge hood off of Coffee for, I think I paid $400 for the hood. It's burgundy, so it wasn't the right color, but I was like, I was going to put that hood on the wagon. And then at that car show that we were just at, some guy comes wandering, like Coffee was in one spot. We're in this middle spot under the like covers, you know, chilling, easy ups, chilling in the shade. And then Chris Field was behind us, like two swap meet spots. And this guy comes wandering in. He's like, hey, did somebody buy a Super B hood over here? You know, and everybody's like, what the fuck? Like, no, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I did, but it wasn't like today. You know, he's talking like it was today. And he's like, that guy over there said one of you guys bought a Super B hood. And I'm like, Coffee? I go, yeah, I bought a hood from him a while ago. And he goes, man, I bought this 68 Super B, and he got it from the original owner, a little lady who a long time ago wrecked the car up front, and they put a satellite or a Roadrunner front end on it. So it's a Dodge with the Plymouth front nose on it, and he's trying to restore it back to original. And he's like, I didn't know how hard it was to find, you know, original parts. It's impossible, especially that bulge hood. So I'm like, well, I wasn't planning on selling it, you know.
This old thing?
Yeah, my buddy, he's like, when that guy left, he's like, that guy's saying all the wrong things. He's like, they're hard to find, they're expensive, I'm desperate, I need one now, you know. It's like, so I'm like, well, screw it. So I texted him, you know, and I'm trying to keep the Charger project rolling. So I thought, you know, I'll sacrifice the hood and use that money towards the Charger. But I ain't going to give it to him for what I paid for it. It's not worth it, you know?
So no.
I told him $600, and I think that was a killer deal.
That's a deal.
Yeah.
God, you're so nice, Johnny. I would have just taken the cleaners.
I know. I should have. I was like, I was ready, dude. I was like, don't even try to offer me a penny less than $600. I'm going to get the fuck out of here, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, he comes over, he's like, oh, so 600? And I go, yeah. And he's like, here you go. And he goes,
shit.
My buddy told me, because he's got a Super B also, and he needs a hood also. And he's like, dude, if you don't buy that hood, I'm buying it. Because I shot him pictures. It's in good shape. It's not rusted out or anything, you know. But, yeah, anyway, I got some Charger money.
Yeah, nice, nice. How far along are you on that thing? I haven't watched any of your latest videos.
I'm turning the corner, man. It's like the halfway mark, I would say. Nice. I've got the drivetrain ripped out of the car. I've got half of the engine bay. I put the core, you know, I cleaned it up, put core seal in there. I polished it a little bit, and I'm going to clean the core seal off a bit, just like I did with the interior floors, and then clear it.
Nice.
So on the driver's side, I just pulled out the power brake booster today and some of the wiring harness and I call it the proportioning valve, but it's not, it's just like a splitter, you know, or distribution block, I should say, for all the brake lines and stuff. So I'm cleaning up that side of the car, and hopefully next weekend I'll be to the point where I could clear it. I'm going to leave it patinaed, and I'm just going to clear it, you know, to keep it from rusting any further. And I when I pulled the motor out of it, I took a picture and I sent it to my buddy, Robert Sullivan. He's got a 70 Duster with a 440 in it, like a fucking badass car. And he offered to sell me the 440 out of it a long time ago. And I'm like, yeah, I'll buy it. And he wanted $2,000 for it. It's a killer price for a strong running 440. It's got a 509 cam in it. It's got stealth heads on it. Like, the thing is badass. And he runs nitrous on it. He hasn't run nitrous on it a bunch, but he's probably hit it, you know, maybe 5 or 6 times on the car. So anyway, I shot him the picture like, all right, dude, I'm ready for the motor. So it's like, do you still want to sell it? And I gave him every out, because he also has a 64 Plymouth he got from Coffee, and he put this big, big inch stroker motor in it and stuff. So I think all his attention's on that car, and the Duster's kind of fallen to the wayside. But originally he was going to put a big motor in the Duster, and hence why he was selling me the old 440 that was in it. So, but he said he's going to sell it to me. So I think, and he's like, all right, he shot me a little video. He's like, all right, man, I'm moving it down. I'm getting ready to rip the motor out of it. So, I'm hoping by next weekend, I'll have the engine bay cleared. Hopefully my power brake booster and master cylinder will come in. I've already got brake lines. I just got to clean up that distribution block and then start putting all that together. And the motor is ready to go in. I need to order a converter, and headers are the two big ticket items that I need to buy. I've got a transmission already that was from my Roadrunner, my blue Roadrunner. I'll put that in the car. But yeah, so that's where it's at. And then I think at that point, like, I've got all the suspension parts and the brake parts and stuff, so I can start slapping the car together. But it feels like October's coming fast, you know?
Yeah.
So,
it sounds like you're making good headway, dude. I'm really impressed. That's going to be a badass car, dude. I like it.
I can't wait, dude. I can't wait. Yeah. I think I'm going to run American Racing wheels on it, the polished ones. Okay. And I, you know, put some 295s on the back, 8-inch wide rims, drop the car really low, like I like it. And yeah, I can't wait. I think it's gonna look sick, all the patina on the car. Really good.
Yeah I like that. Awesome, dude. Well, fellas, we're in this 3 hours, and I'm starting to hold back yawns here. It's been a long day. Irvin, where can people find your social medias, buddy?
It's still going to be All Out Mopar. I know last time I said All Out Mopars with the S, but no, it's definitely All Out Mopar, and it's all.out.mopar. Just awesome. A little page that I'm working on Instagram.
Awesome. So all of you listening now or in the future, go follow Irvin and check out what he's doing on Instagram. Johnny Mopar, tell us where we can find all your fun stuff.
So let's see right here. How you see Johnny Mopar here? You can find me on YouTube. That's mostly where I put the videos and stuff, but I've been playing with Instagram a lot more. So also Johnny Mopar, but no space between the Johnny and the Mopar. It's just all like one word because they don't allow spaces. I should have put the little, you know, lowercase line or whatever, but I didn't think of it. Yeah. So
that's what annoyed me when I had the Mopar Hunter at Instagram, because I had another email address and I had at the Mopar Hunter, but I didn't want to recover the email address and all that. So I just did at the dot Mopar dot Hunter. And it just annoyed me every time I looked at it. That's why I'm so glad I just consolidated everything to at Talking Mopars Podcast. I like it a lot better. It's a lot easier. Yeah. And I don't have to manage multiple accounts. It was so stupid. I was doing that for so long, but everybody makes mistakes and I make them a lot. So, but everybody, thank you for listening. You now know where to follow Irvin. You know where to follow Johnny Mopar, Matt Monroe, and Blake Anderman. I am your host, Chris Albrecht, and that was Talking Mopars Direct Connections Live. Join us again next time. It's always a good time. We're always talking Mopars, having a good time. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the next show. No Mopar left behind. There you have it, my friends. Another episode of Talking Mopars is in the books. For everything you need to know about the podcast, please visit TalkingMopars.com. And don't forget that you can send me your Mopar stories, questions, comments, concerns, complaints, and everything else on your Mopar addicted mind to Chris at TalkingMopars.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail on my voicemail box at 209-28-MOPAR, and I will play your message on the show. Also, if you like Talking Mopars, you enjoy the show, and you would like to show your support, there are a couple of ways that you can do it. One way is by picking up some Talking Mopars merch at the Talking Mopars merch shop, which you can find on TalkingMopars.com, or by becoming a supporter through my Facebook page. Find me on social media by searching for at Talking Mopars Podcast, and be sure to subscribe to my new YouTube channel by searching for Talking Mopars Podcast. That's it, my friends. Until we talk again, I am your host, Chris Albrecht, and that was Talking Mopars.
Thank you for listening to Talking Mopars, your direct connection to all things Mopar. Until next time, remember, no Mopar left behind.